Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 to 25. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Since we are living by Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris and I serve as a pastor here in this church. It's great to have you here with us this morning, and I hope that you'll join us for morning tea over in the hall once we finish. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to be able to come together as your people. We thank you that even though we are different in so many ways, we are united in our common purpose of loving you and seeking to follow you in the way that we live our lives. As we look at this value of freedom this morning, we just pray that your Spirit will be speaking to us, that you'll be challenging us, and that you'll be opening up our minds to things that we might not have considered, things that we might need to change, or that we might just be able to take peace and comfort. Lord, speak to us this morning as your people. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to start this morning with a question. I want to ask you, what makes you feel free? What makes you feel free? What's something that you might do that makes you feel free? Anyone? Being able to make decisions, yep.
Not setting an alarm in the morning.
Nice, yes.
The very fact that we can come here today.
Sorry, Manu, what was that?
Just doing nothing.
Very nice, I like that, yes. Very good. Sorry, Ray?
The very fact that we can come here.
Yeah. Yeah, freedom to be here right now. Yep. Anyone else?
Being out on the boat, on the water, feeling the wind on your face.
Nice. Out in nature. Yep. Anyone else?
Meeting people that you feel accept you, they smile at you and they
yeah.
Yeah, because they're judging you or something.
Yeah. Free to meet people. Yep. Anyone else? In nature? Yes. In the bush? Yeah. Yep. When I think of freedom, some of the things that I think about are some of the things that you've mentioned. Walking in the bush, walking on the beach, swimming. I love to swim, skydiving. I love these are things that for me speak of freedom. Anything that allows you to feel released and open and unrestricted. I can honestly say that freedom is actually one of my favourite words, and the word free or freedom is actually mentioned quite a bit. But it took me a long time to really be able to understand what it means for us as Christians to be free. Because I grew up in a church that had a really lot of rules. It had so many rules that it didn't look like freedom, and it certainly didn't feel like freedom. And that's because it wasn't free. We talked about freedom, but we weren't really free. Well-meaning people had created a whole bunch of rules in the hope that those rules would help us to all live good lives, that those rules would help us to do what the Bible said. But they didn't. People looked at ways to break the rules or how far they could stretch the rules. In the end, I left that church. I stopped going to any church, and I stayed away for a long time until I met a group of Christians who actually practiced this freedom that I'd been reading about. They lived and enjoyed freedom, and it drew me back to Jesus and eventually back to the church. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find lots of examples of this freedom, particularly if you read through Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Now, it's actually quite a harsh letter that he writes, but that's because Paul was angry. He was angry because a group of people had come into these churches and they'd taken away the people's freedom. They'd created a whole bunch of rules and they'd said, you've got to follow these rules if you want to be a Christian. They said, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to eat only these foods and you can't eat these foods. You can go to these places, but you can't go to those places. You can only mix with these people, and you can't mix with those people. So Paul wrote to these churches, and he says, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the oppression of slavery, by all of these rules. He goes on to say, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised, or in eating these foods or not these foods, or talking to these people or these other people. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Paul is saying, you're free. You're no longer bound by all of these rules and traditions and expectations. You don't have to do what these other people are telling you to do. He says, you're free to follow Jesus. You're free to follow wherever he leads you. You're free to not be overcome with guilt or with shame when you do something wrong. You know that you're forgiven. He says you're free to fail because you know that God's love isn't dependent on you being or doing the right thing. You're free to respond to the challenges that you face because you know the Spirit of God is with you. And he's going to be guiding you and enabling you to face those challenges. Paul is saying, if you are committed to following Jesus, then you're free. You don't have to be weighed down. You don't have to feel burdened by all of these boxes that you need to tick. Jesus has set you free. Now, sometimes when we hear about freedom, we think that means, I can just do whatever I want. But that's actually not what it means. It doesn't mean that we can do whatever we want, regardless of how that impacts on others. Paul says, all things are permissible, all things are allowable, but not all things are beneficial. Not all things are good for you or good for others. It means that because we love Jesus, we choose to make decisions that are going to put God and other people first. We're going to make choices that mirror the life and the teaching of Jesus. that reflect the values of the kingdom of God. And when we read through the Bible, we find guidance for how to live that life. Freedom is something that that video pointed out that Baptists have always valued. People have even been willing to die for the sake of that freedom. Baptists believe in the separation of church and state, that our churches are free from government control and influence, that Christians should be able to live out our faith in ways that might be different to the rest of society, that other religions should also be free to do the same, that together we have a communal prophetic voice that brings hope and healing to the world. I've been told that in the early years after Australia was colonised, the government of the time offered churches free or very cheap land. But the Baptists said no. They didn't want to be obligated or under the influence and control of the government. So, unlike most other denominations, Baptist churches said no. It probably explains why Baptist churches aren't particularly wealthy as far as land and things go today. But Baptist churches also believe in freedom of conscience. So that means we are not going to force somebody to believe what we believe. We're not going to force somebody to conform to our ways. They have free choice, the same as what God's given to us. It means that as Baptists, we discern and we make decisions together, like we did at our recent church meeting, about the direction of our church, about how we spend our money, about our mission. But we make those decisions in a framework, under a banner of love. We seek to honour Jesus and we seek to honour each other. And sometimes we make decisions where we agree to disagree. It means we practice love and we prioritise healthy relationships. Most of you will know that our Baptist Association at the moment is making decisions about issues that we're a bit divided on. Our family of 350 churches is having a conversation about what do we do when a pastor or a church chooses to do things differently. Do we exclude them? Do we try to force them to change? Or do we continue to seek unity? Do we prioritise keeping the rules we've created? Or do we practice love and pursue healthy relationships? These are questions that we're facing, and many of you know I'm part of a task force that's been visiting churches all over the state, helping churches wrestle with these questions, so that when we come together, we can make a good, united decision. Baptists value freedom. And we do that because Jesus valued freedom. He valued it so much that he died so that we could be set free. When I visit churches, when I talk to other Christians, other pastors, I realise that too many of us still live under this burden of rules. We don't enjoy that freedom. We're very much like that church in Galatia. We're weighed down by traditions and rules and expectations. But I just want to encourage you and say, if that is you, then remember that you have been set free. Not free to just do whatever you want, but free to serve and free to follow Jesus. Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is here in this place. And so we live with freedom. As a church, as leaders, we practice and we invite people in to enjoy that freedom. As we've done for the last 4 weeks, we've created space for some time of discussion. This is the last week that we're going to be doing this at the moment. So I want to encourage you to join in these discussion groups so that you can ask questions, so that you can share your opinions. I'm going to ask people who are leading those groups to just stand up. So these people are just going to move to certain spots. Morel is looking after our Oasis, our primary school aged kids. Mike's going to have our youth. So if you're a high school person, Mike's the person that you go to. And the rest of you, if you split up into corners, people can go to your groups. We'll talk for maybe 15 minutes or so. I'll finish that time off. But these are our questions. What does it mean?